national numbers exceeding OPEC production limits, helping to drive down the price of oil from $20.50 a barrel in the opening days of 1990 to a mere $13.60 a barrel by summer.
Please come over on the Nina, the Pinta, and the whatchamacallit. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. Landed right on top of us.
Where's outcry? Why? You can get all the film and the footage of all the carnage in Los Angeles, but you can show me no footage of any damage in Iraq. And all you show me is some surgical. Now, 1 year later, it comes out that these so-called surgical strikes were mixed in.
Islam in China by Suleiman Ma. China is like a sleeping dog. Do not awaken her, for when she awakens, the whole world is crumbled. These words that Napoleon was supposed to have uttered may have looked like a very unlikely possibility 2 centuries ago. At that time, China just seemed like a huge, ancient and mysterious land, which compared to other nations was of little consequence to the outside world. The only thing the West cared about China was the fact that it grew tea. In today's world, Napoleon's comments bear greater significance. For today, China is a country which houses one-fifth of the world's population. A country with one of the most ancient cultures known to man. A country which spans from the Pacific Rim to deep within the heartlands of Asia. It is a country that has lived through the rise and fall of many other civilizations, and today stands as a world giant. Today, amidst a population of 1.2 billion people, China houses an array of different ethnic communities within its vast lands. Of these, there exists a large Muslim minority that has historically been responsible for many of the discoveries and human endeavors that has made China into what it is today. A minority which has shown great fortitude in facing the trials inflicted upon them by enemies due to their belief in Islam. Adversities which continue to be wrought upon them day by day in an oppressive regime which controls all walks of life in China, right down to the freedom to believe and practice religion. A regime which has time and time again demonstrated that it will stop at nothing to curb any opposition to its ideology. In this, blood and carnage lay testimony to its sincerity. Muslims of China have shown great ingenuity, surviving and maintaining their beliefs in an environment of hatred and suppression. As a result, Islam in China continues to strengthen and grow. During the 80s, the official census showed that the Muslim population of China was around 16 million. However, the 1949 estimates stated the Muslim population of China to be around 45 to 50 million, whereas the China Yearbook of 1938 put the figure at 50 million. Since then, the overall population of China has doubled in 50 years, and it is difficult to imagine that the Muslim population went entirely against the countrywide trend by decreasing threefold. Such a large discrepancy casts considerable doubt on the official figures published by the Chinese authorities. If the trends in Muslim population were taken to be in line with the overall countrywide trend, the Muslim population of China could be estimated to be around 90 million. Islam in China has united many different ethnic groups and established its own contribution to the nation's history. There are 10 different ethnic Muslim minorities in China. 6 of those ethnic groups are of Central Asian origin. The largest ethnic group amongst the Chinese Muslim is the Hui people, who are scattered across the whole of China. Some can be found even in Burma. However, the main concentration of the Hui people are to be found in northwest, southwest, and central China. Most of the other Muslim ethnic minorities can be found in the northwest province of Xinjiang, which borders Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the Central Asian republics. Others are scattered across Gansu, Qinghai, and the Ningxia provinces in the northwest. The Muslims of China are mainly of mixed Central Asian and native Chinese extraction. Some ethnic communities have Mongolian and Tibetan heritage as well. The early Muslims of China emerged as a direct result of mixed marriages between early Muslim, Arab, and Persian tradesmen and indigenous Chinese inhabitants. The later Muslims of China emerged as a result of the Mongolian conquest of Islamic lands of Central Asia, such as Persia, Iraq, and Afghanistan. History shows that between the 7th and 13th centuries, the Islamic Empire and Chinese Empire were the most advanced trading nations in the world. Arab and Persian Muslim tradesmen who came to China by land and sea settled in southern Chinese coastal cities like Quanzhou, which at that time was the most important and busiest port in the world. The Muslims who traveled by land settled in Xi'an and its surrounding areas alongside the famous Silk Road in northwest of China. This first chapter in the history books of Muslims in China began in the year 651. According to Chinese historical records, this was the year in which the Islamic government of Medina, during the Caliphate of Uthman, formally sent messengers and envoys to meet the Chinese emperor in the capital city of Xi'an. One of the messengers was called Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, who was none other than the maternal cousin of the Seal of Prophet himself. He was buried in Quanzhou city, where his tomb is still well preserved until today. During that time, China was ruled by the Tang dynasty, whose benign rule created an atmosphere of flourishing trade and cultural exchanges with neighboring nations. In those early days of trade, the Islamic religion was confined within the Muslim trading community in their settlements. The slow process of the Islamization of China started through day-to-day business contact and intermarital relationships between the Muslim trading community living in Chinese cities and the local people. In 629 CE, the first mosque outside Arabia was built in Quanzhou. The mosque was called Kuang Ta Si, translated as the Luminous Towers Mosque, which still stands today on the banks of the Pearl River. It has a unique Middle Eastern style not found anywhere in the Far East region and boasts a minaret 25 to 35 meters tall. Although the first written record of Chinese contact with the Muslims was in 651, it is highly possible that the Muslim, Arab, or Persian tradesmen went to China prior to this by land or sea. Today, there are 3 well-preserved mosques, which are located in Xi'an and the ancient port city of Quanzhou and Guangzhou. During the Tang dynasty, in 618 AC, the famous Silk Road was extended to form a link between the East and the West. It started from Xi'an, the capital of the Tang dynasty, and separated into 2 branch roads that led to Arabian and Indian towns via Central Asia and Persia. The Arabs and Persians entered China in great numbers through Persia by the Silk Road for commercial purposes. Most of the import and export businesses were conducted by Arab and Persian merchants. During the Zhong dynasty, 960 to 1278 AC, trade between Arabia and China flourished and became so important that 1/3 of the Song dynasty's annual revenue came directly from this trade. The Song dynasty appointed a well-known rich Muslim merchant, Pu Shu Ken, as High Commissioner of Marine Police to look after Arab affairs in China. Later, he was promoted as Customs Commissioner, 1245 to 1246 AC, and further concurrently appointed Pacification Commissioner along the southern coast of China. The Arab and Persian merchants brought to China items which included ivory, perfume, gems, and glassware from Africa, corals, pearls, spices, and uncut jade from Arabia. Things exported in bulk from China were paper, cloth, tea, porcelain, silk, medicine, and alum. From 651 to 1279, China was ruled by several different dynasties. Although the social turmoil and destruction caused by the transition from one dynasty to another was great, the trade route to the outside world, especially the Silk Road, was never cut off or stopped completely. Generations upon generations of Muslim, Arab, and Persian tradesmen came to China and brought with them not only their merchandise, but also the spiritual guidance of the Islamic faith to Chinese society. The indigenous Chinese people began to accept the faith and became Muslims. The process, however, was extremely slow. Breakthrough in Chinese Muslim history happened in the 13th century when the Mongols first conquered the Muslim lands and then conquered the whole of China. The Mongols established the Yuan dynasty in China in 1279 and brought with them hundreds of thousands of Muslim craftsmen, administrators, soldiers, and merchants from Central Asia, Persia, and Arabia. These Muslim newcomers were different in several aspects from their Muslim predecessors, who by now had already settled in China. Some of these Muslims came as the ruling elite of the Yuan dynasty, which consisted of well-learned scientists and scholars. Several Muslims were appointed as provincial governors, and amongst the 16 non-Mongol ministerial positions, 12 were held by Muslims. Due to their prominent role in the government, they had no restriction in practicing and propagating their religion. Thirdly, unlike previous Muslim tradesmen who came with comparatively simple ethnic culture and language background, the newly arrived Muslims were from a diversity of ethnic culture and language background. This made it very difficult to communicate effectively with their own mother tongue, so instead they used the Mongolian language as a common standard for a short period of time. When the Mongols adopted Chinese language as the official language, they quickly adapted themselves into the new language environment and slowly abandoned their native language. Arabic and Persian were only kept alive in religious activities and used in religious studies. The switch to the Chinese language by the Muslims embarked in a wider spread of Islam amongst the native Chinese community. The rule of the Yuan dynasty lasted for only 89 years, but with Islam firmly rooted in Chinese society within the lifetime of one generation, a new distinguished Chinese Muslim ethnic group, the Hui people, formally emerged in China. In 1368, the Mongol-dominated Yang dynasty was overthrown and replaced by the Ming dynasty. The Ming dynasty adopted a policy which forbade any trade routes to the outside world by sea. This caused the rapid decline of the Muslim community and its influence around the east and southern coastline of China. But in areas of inland China, the situation was rather different. The Chinese Muslim community continued to flourish in towns and countryside where they inhabited. Muslims in China began to form their own organizational structure, which was centered on the nearest masjid in the neighborhood. Each masjid was independent from the other, and there was no real emphasis on sectarian differences. The formation of different Islamic sects started in the 18th century and had a profound influence on the Chinese Muslim community. Percent of all Chinese Muslims are Sunni, with strong Persian academic influence. The majority of the Chinese Muslims follow the Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik school of thought. Some of the Muslims of Central Asian origin living in the Xinjiang province follow the Shafi school of thought. From the 7th to the 17th century, there was no real emphasis on different Muslim denominations. Most Chinese Muslims named themselves as Qadim, meaning followers of the ancient traditional way of Islam. They believe in all the main article of faith and observe the five basic pillars of Islam. However, they also retain various Chinese customs and culture, but disguised in Islamic forms. From the 17th century onwards, however, different sects began to emerge. The spreading of different sectarian teachings among Muslim communities in northwest China had its immediate effect. Various factions would often fight each other to compete for influence and dominance. Some factions have spent up to 200 years fighting each other in communal violence. This brought great suffering and loss of innocent Muslim life. Each sect and subsect were engaged in trying to recruit new members among fellow Muslims, and in their preoccupation in doing so, they totally neglected their duty in spreading Islam to the rest of the Chinese community. Also, through the ages of division and discord, some disguised anti-Islamic doctrines were introduced into the sects, making them stray away from the original teachings of the Holy Prophet of Islam. And thus, the previously dynamic, forward-looking Chinese Muslim community had now plunged themselves into self-pity and internal strife. Like the rest of the Muslim world at the end of the 19th century, the Chinese Muslim community was in a status of total disarray. Ordinary Muslim was longing for great change and reform, and this change came in the form of an Islamic revivalist movement. The Islamic revivalist movements in China had begun to spring up during the turn of the century. These revivalist movements mainly gained their inspiration directly from the birthplace of Islam itself, the Arabian Peninsula. Founders of the revivalist movements would typically have been a member of a certain faction who, after going to pilgrimage in the holy city of Mecca, abandon loyalty to their former group and start the revivalist movement based on the model of the Arabs picked up during pilgrimage. The attempts of the revivalists were met with reasonable success. The main aim of the revivalists was to encourage people to identify and reject the un-Islamic customs that had crept into Islam, and instead lead their lives in accordance with the teachings of the Quran, with the life of the Holy Prophet as a perfect example of the embodiment of these teachings. The people's hunger for reform made these aims popular ones, and as a result, many prominent imams of that time had become united in this effort. The message of the reformist movement spread very fast across China. In 25 to 30 years' time, it became the dominant force among the Chinese Muslims community. Schools began to appear soon afterwards, providing primary and secondary education using the latest methods of the time for both boys and girls. Islam was taught through Chinese cultural context and through the works of Chinese Muslim scholars, which was the main source of Islamic study. The reformist movements were also responsible for organizing the Muslims to live a communal lifestyle. The community had collective farms in rural areas of northwest China and business companies across the country. Individuals were encouraged to do farm work, engage in enterprise, or to study in universities according to their talents and abilities. The structure and influence of this movement is still kept alive, but lacking in progress. The communal lifestyle of the Muslims was dismantled after the communist takeover in 1949. The presence of Islam in China has benefited China and its culture in numerous ways by making giant strides forward. The presence of Islam in China gave rise to prominent Chinese Muslims creating great strides in the sciences, government administration, warfare, politics, and trade. One of the greatest navigators ever to be produced by China was the Chinese Muslim by the name of Admiral Muhammad Zheng Ho. He came from a very old Muslim religious family of the Ma in Yunnan province. It was the imperial pleasure of the Ming Dynasty Emperor Chen Su, Yunglo 1403-1424, that changed his surname from Ma into Zheng. From the third year of Yungla, 1405 AC, Admiral Zheng Ho led a fleet of several hundred ships and sailed to the Western Ocean seven times. His fleet visited over 30 different countries and regions in Asia and Africa. His fleet reached Southeast Asia and the coast of Eastern Africa 150 years earlier than the discovery of the so-called New Continent by Columbus. He promoted goodwill, friendship, and international trade with the local people wherever his fleet anchored. Although his fleet was accompanied with great numbers of fighting soldiers, he never terrorized local people or colonized their land. This serves a sharp contrast from what the later European powers did to the native people and their land. During his fleet's final journey, 1433 AC, Admiral Zheng Ho led his fleet and reached the coast of the Arabian Peninsula, and he made his pilgrimage to the Islamic Holy Land. In the Middle Ages, scholars from the Islamic world possessed very advanced knowledge of mathematics, algebra, and trigonometry. When Muslim scholars introduced these into China, they helped to a great extent the study of astronomy in China. During the Yang Dynasty, a Muslim observatory was established side by side with the Chinese observatory. A famous Muslim astronomer called Jamaluddin was in charge of the Muslim observatory. He made 7 different astronomical instruments in bronze, and these instruments are still well preserved in China. He also translated the Arabic names of stars into Chinese. In the 4th year of Xinguang, 1267 AC, he made a perpetual calendar, which was used by the Yuan government until 1281 AC, when they reverted back to the old calendar again. Other famous Muslim astronomers recorded in Yang history were Bakhtiar, Abdullah, and Masali. They helped to regulate and arrange the calendar used in China to narrow the difference between the solar and lunar years. This calendar system is also very accurate in the determination of the 4 seasons, which is necessary for the Chinese, Japanese, and Korean farmers, who follow the 24 solar terms of the year very strictly for the cultivation of different crops throughout the year. The Chinese material Medica, in 52 volumes composed from 1968 to 1975 AC, was separately revised during the Song Dynasty. Second and third revisions were made in 1056 and 1107, and much medical knowledge of Arabian origin was added to the new editions. These editions were most probably extracted from the Arab Book of 2000 Medicines, composed by Ibn Sina. Non-herbal medicines such as frankincense, pearls, kidney of seals, cloves, red sandalwood, plaster, and a qiao of Arab origin were added into Chinese medicine. During Yang Dynasty, a health welfare service called Quang Hui Si, the Department for the Benefit of the Masses, was created in 1277 and put in charge of preparing Muslim medicine for the Imperial Guard's public use. Hui Yao Wu Yuan, Muslim Medical House, was created in 1292 and was a primitive form of modern-day hospital. All these organizations were created by Muslims, and it was in these organizations that surgical operations with scissors and knives were first carried out in China. As we all know, Islamic architecture occupied a well-honored place in the international arena. The very foundation of today's Beijing, China's capital, was laid down by the famous architect of Yuan Dynasty, Bakiyadin, who drafted the plans of the green and blue tiled imperial palaces in Beijing, which are the proud heritage of China, and which are well known throughout the world for their majestic and magnificent design.